Welcome to Benefit from the Bible. We are continuing our series, God with Us. We find ourselves on Christmas Eve, and our focus is on Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. God bless you. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, here we are tonight on Christmas Eve. Much preparation has been made for our services here at Bethlehem. I'm sure you have done much to prepare for Christmas 2014. You probably have put up decorations, you probably have purchased gifts, you probably have prepared food. So I would say the celebration is on, let it begin, and may it focus on Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm so glad that you chose to make tonight, right now, a part of your celebration. Here at Bethlehem, we're working through a sermon series that we have entitled God with Us. There are brochures like this in the back that you can pick up if you don't have one already. And tonight we're focusing on part 7 of the series. We'll come to that in just a moment, but first of all, I want to go back to part 6 real briefly and let you know where we're coming from in order to get here to part 7. In part 6, we focused on John the Baptizer, the one that God sent to prepare the way for Jesus. How did he do that? He called people to see the reality of their sin, to be sorry for their sins, and to receive the Christ of Christmas as their Savior. Also, too, in part 6, we looked at two prophecies as Zechariah prophesied, first of all, things that would happen in regard to Jesus being our Savior, and then secondly, things that would happen in the life of John, his own son, as he prepared the way for our Savior. As we think about those prophecies, God knew in advance all that was coming for John and for Jesus. What about us? What does God know about us? He knows just as much. He knows everything. God knows everything about us. So what does God do then? Does God say, oh, I know too much, so I'm no longer going to love those people because of their sin? No way. God doesn't love us because we are good or bad. God loves us because he is love. So God continues to love us, though we have sinned. The Bible says that God loves us with an everlasting love. So what does God want to do? God wants to bless us in this life, and he wants to bless us forever and ever. That is good news for us. Going to the brochure here just real quick, if you take a look at it on the inside, you can see we have two timelines. We have an Old Testament timeline covering from creation all the way through, basically to Joseph, the father, the legal father of Jesus. And then on the bottom, we're covering a 2-year period of time, which is covering from the time when the angel appeared to Zechariah in regard to John, all the way through until finally Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, they return from Egypt and settle in Nazareth. We're basically right about in the middle of the bottom timeline tonight as we focus on number 7. Tomorrow we get to number 8, and that will be where we focus on the birth of Jesus, but we're real close even tonight. Our first part tonight, part 1, I say, God can bring great change into our lives. What do I mean by that? Well, to get to this section, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, because we are going through all these various gospel readings that surround the birth of our Savior. So we're going to Matthew chapter 1. Now, some of you might remember that in part 2 of the series, we were in the beginning of Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Going to verse 18, the Bible says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married," that means she was engaged, "to Joseph. But before they came together," well, thus, before they had you know what, "she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit." Let's be honest, that's what the Bible's talking about, right? Okay, so think about it like this. Mary knew how she became pregnant. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, came upon her, and the power of the Most High overshadowed her. What does all that mean exactly? We don't know, but we know that she was not with a man. We know that God allowed her to get pregnant and yet continue to be a virgin. But who would ever believe such a story, though? Can you imagine her going to Joseph, the one to whom she was engaged, or to her parents, and saying, "Yes, that's right, you can see it, it's obvious, I'm pregnant, but I have never been with a man, this baby is from God." Who's going to believe a story like that? Isn't that ridiculous? But yet, when the time was right, the Almighty God needed to come down here to be with us in order to live for us and then die for us in order to save us. And this is that one special time. She is the only one to be a virgin and yet to be with child. God wants us to know how significant this is. But what were Mary's options, though? This happened. She was innocent, and yet no one would believe her. So what could she do? She trusted in the Almighty God. He knew what happened. Her trust was in him no matter what. God wants us to be the same. As Mary's life dramatically changed with her conception of the Christ of Christmas, our lives have greatly changed when God made us his holy children by giving us faith to trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. I thought about a whole list of different things, of changes that God brought into our lives, but let me share four of them with you. First of all, we were at one point refusing God's forgiveness. Now, by God's grace, we have received his forgiveness. We did at one time trust in what we were doing to get into heaven, but now, by God's grace, we trust in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is done through Jesus. We were at one point separated from the Almighty God who made us and loves us, but now, through Jesus, we have been united to God as our Father. We are part of his holy family. And then at one point, we did live as we desired. We were basically following our old sinful nature in how we lived. But now that we have been united to God, now we try to know and do as God desires. We don't do that to be saved. Rather, we want to be that way because of what he has done for us through the Christ. Let's go on to the second part. In point number two, I say we all need God's guidance. Picking up in verse 19 of our text from Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says, "Because Joseph, Mary's husband, was a righteous man." In other words, he was a believer in God's holy word. He was a believer in the Messiah that was promised to come. So he did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace. Joseph would have had every right to say publicly to everyone that he knew, he could say, "That child in her is not mine." He would have been right in saying that because it was not his child, but that would have exposed her to public disgrace and possibly even much more. So the Bible says he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He would secretly end the relationship between the two of them. They would both go their separate ways, and that would be the end of it. That's what he had in mind. But the Bible says, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So that was Jesus' mission, to save his people from their sins. And did he fulfill his mission? By all means. He told us so when he cried out from the cross, "It is finished." Two special messengers I'm thinking about here. Following our A God With Us brochure timeline, we know that Mary was visited by an angel and she became pregnant. And I believe the timing was in December of 6 BC when that happened. Now, do we need to know all those dates? We don't. But if you look at the timeline, though, you can see I put a series of dates along the bottom. And I believe the dates are accurate. It's hard to be perfect on the dating. There's a number of key reasons why I have these particular dates that I do. I'm not going to go into it now, but if you come on January 4th, you'll hear a little bit more of the reasoning behind all that dating. But anyway, though, I believe that happened on December of 6 BC. And then, right after that, right after she conceived our Savior, then she traveled and she spent 3 months with Elizabeth. So she traveled down into Judea near Jerusalem, spent that time with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John when she arrived. And the Bible says that Mary went back to Nazareth before she gave birth to John, but she was very close to giving birth by the time Mary returns then to Nazareth. Up to that point, Joseph has no idea that she's 3 months pregnant. She's been out of town for those 3 months. However, she returns. Joseph recognizes that she is pregnant. She's showing. And then he decides to divorce her quietly, as it said in the text. So what did God do at that point? God provided Joseph with special guidance. Through an angel, God said to Joseph, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." If you think about what could have been said to Joseph to change his mind, there would have been practically nothing that could have been said to him. However, though, with a holy angel appearing to him, and the holy angel basically saying exactly what Mary had said, that this child is from God, and now the holy angel is saying, "Hey, Joseph, that child is from God." Boy, Joseph then believed. That was a real game changer for him. It changed everything. He needed that information, and God provided that information. What about us? Has anyone here had an angel appear to any of us? Has that happened to you? Okay, I can't say that I've had an angel appear to me. Now, I have had a couple people over the years tell me some amazing angel stories, and I can't say it's impossible, because I know there are angels that God created, and I know that sometimes God has angels come to us with messages, because angels are messengers. I haven't had that personally. I think back to when I was contemplating, "Dear God, do you really want me to go to seminary and study to be a pastor or not?" And really, I was saying, "Dear God, either you yourself or an angel, can't you just like appear at the foot of my bed and tell me exactly what your will is for my life? I want to be sure about this." So that didn't happen, though. God didn't give me that opportunity. But with Joseph, though, that did in fact happen. But let's know, though, with our Lord Jesus Christ, let's know that he has walked in our shoes. So he lived. And as he lived, the Bible says he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin. We know that Jesus hungered, he thirsted, he suffered, and he died. He went through all these different experiences. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is fully equipped to understand us, fully equipped to guide us, fully equipped to help us in every circumstance of life. Now, Jesus can communicate with us through an angel, but that's not really the typical way of communication. The typical way of communication is through his holy word. So even though he can through an angel, he always wants to communicate with us through the Bible. He wants to give us exactly what we need to know his will for our lives. So far in our message tonight, we can see that God can bring great change into our lives. He did that with Mary. He's done that with us as well. So when we have great change, we're not quite sure what to do. As God guided Joseph, he wants to guide us through his holy word. Now, God wants us to know that he has a plan for Joseph. He has a plan for us too. The Bible says in verse 22, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Thus, that is the name of our series, Emmanuel, or God with us. So what happened? People sinned. God planned to send his son, and then when the time was just right, he did send him into the world to be our Savior. Now, through the faith that God has given to us, by which we are trusting alone in Jesus Christ as our Savior, God wants us to know that we have the very benefits that we need. We have the benefits of Jesus living and dying for us. God also has a plan for each one of our lives. God wants us to discover that plan, not by like reading our horoscope or things like that. That's not how we find God's plan for our life. God wants us to dig in to his holy word, go to God in prayer in a serious way, and God will show us what his will is for our lives. I want to share with you one of my favorite passages that talks about the benefits of the Bible. If we go to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." So think about that. We have many living things on planet Earth. Without water and sunshine, they cannot continue to live. So what does God do? God sends forth the rain. It does the watering. God causes the growth. He provides food for people to eat. He provides seed so that more things can be planted and they can grow too. So God has a cycle there of sending the rain and bringing the blessings. In the same way, when God's word goes forth, he has a definite purpose for it. It's always a good purpose for us when we are open to want that word of God, to know that word of God, to understand that word of God, to apply that word of God to our lives. It's always going to be a good thing. I can't imagine anyone at the end of their lives saying, "Oh, dear God, I'm so disappointed. I followed your word as best I could throughout my life. Now I'm ready to die. I'm so disappointed." I don't think that's ever, ever, ever going to happen. We are always going to be happy. We're always going to be blessed. We're going to have great peace and joy in life when we know the Bible is important and when we dig into it in a serious way. God will. God desperately wants to bless us. Let's go on to our fourth and final part. God is calling us now to follow. So picking up with Joseph, we go to verse 24. The Bible says, "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." So Joseph and Mary, they were in harmony with each other. Initially, they weren't, but when we have the words of the angels coming from God through the angels to each of them, now they're in harmony with each other. Now they understand the child is from God. Can you imagine the conversation? Maybe Joseph says to Mary, "Well, what are you thinking about a name?" And they find out that both of them have the same name in mind. And why would that be? Because the angels told each of them, "You shall name him Jesus." So there was going to be no mix-up on the name here. God communicated to both of them what the name would be. What about harmony for us with other people, within our families, and so on? I wrote it out this way: when husbands and wives, or parents and children, or teachers and students, or even pastors and parishioners, when such people agree to learn and be guided by all of God's word, not just what we like, but all of God's word, when that happens, I believe there will be wonderful harmony with such people. Between husband and wife, it's going to be a wonderful marriage. Between parents and children, it's going to be a wonderful family relationship. Between teachers and students, that's going to be a wonderful classroom situation. Between pastor and parishioners, that's going to be a wonderful congregation. God wants us to be completely open to whatever his word would say, even when it doesn't make sense. Did this make sense that Mary would conceive without being with a man? No way. Did this make sense that Joseph should take her as his wife, even though the child in her was not his? That didn't make any sense, but they followed what God said, and God richly blessed them. God wants us to know that his word is always good, it's always best, it's always right. May God grant a special blessing to each one of us as we celebrate Christmas this year. as we remember it's all about the Christ. May God bless us in our relationships with each other. May God bless our relationship with His Word, that we might open it every day, read a little bit of it, think about what it means, and make good application in our daily Christian lives. I invite you to join us tomorrow. We gather here at 10 a.m., and tomorrow we are going to take a look at the Christmas story. So we find ourselves in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Actually, we put together something special for tomorrow, and I'm trying to bribe you to come. So if you come, you'll all get a special copy of it. And it's something we're not only going to use in the service tomorrow, but the idea is that I want you to take multiple copies of it with you. And it's a wonderful thing that you could do when you gather with your own families tomorrow on Christmas Day. So I hope you come and find out more and be blessed even more by the Christ of Christmas. And all God's people said, amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a Bible teaching church, come and join us at 7500 State Road in Parma. See our website for our current schedule. Go to benefitfromthebible.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.